Psalm 17. Lord, hear me begging for fairness. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer because I speak the truth. You will judge that I am right. Your eyes can see what is true. You have examined my heart. You have tested me all night. You questioned me without finding anything wrong. I have not sinned with my mouth. I have obeyed your commands. So I have not done what evil people do. I have done what you told me. I have not failed. I call to you, God, and you answer me. Listen to me now and hear what I say. Your love is wonderful. By your power, you save those who trust you from their enemies. Protect me as you would protect your own eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Keep me from the wicked who attack me, from my enemies who surround me. They are selfish and brag about themselves. They have chased me until they have surrounded me. They plan to throw me to the ground. They are like lions ready to kill. Like lions, they sit in hiding. Lord, rise up, face the enemy, and throw them down. Save me from the wicked with your sword. Lord, save me by your power from those whose reward is in this life. They have plenty of food, they have many sons, and leave much money to all their children. Because I have lived right, I will see your face. When I wake up, I will see your likeness and be satisfied. Genesis chapter 33. Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and with him were 400 men. So Jacob divided his children among Leah, Rachel, and the two slave girls. Jacob put the slave girls with their children first, then Leah and her children behind them, and Rachel and Joseph last. Jacob himself went out in front of them and bowed down flat on the ground 7 times as he was walking toward his brother. But Esau ran to Jacob and put his arms around him and hugged him. Then Esau kissed him and they both cried. When Esau looked up and saw the women and children, he asked, "Who are these people with you?" Jacob answered, "These are the children God has given me. God has been good to me, your servant." Then the two slave girls and their children came up to Esau and bowed down flat on the earth before him. Leah and her children also came up to Esau and also bowed down flat on the earth. Last of all, Joseph and Rachel came up to Esau, and they too bowed down flat before him. Esau said, "I saw many herds as I was coming here. Why did you bring them?" Jacob answered, "They were to please you, my master." But Esau said, "I already have enough, my brother. Keep what you have." Jacob said, "No, please. If I have pleased you, then accept the gift I give you. I am very happy to see your face again. It is like seeing the face of God because you have accepted me. So I beg you to accept the gift I give you. God has been very good to me, and I have more than I need." And because Jacob begged, Esau accepted the gift. Then Esau said, "Let us be going. I will travel with you." But Jacob said to him, "My master, you know that the children are weak, and I must be careful with my flocks and their young ones. If I force them to go too far in one day, all the animals will die. So, my master, you go on ahead of me, your servant. I will follow you slowly, and let the animals and the children set the speed at which we travel. I will meet you, my master, in Edom." So Esau said, "Then let me leave some of my people with you." "No, thank you," said Jacob. "I only want to please you, my master." So that day Esau started back to Edom, but Jacob went to Succoth, where he built a house for himself and shelters for his animals. That is why the place was named Succoth. Jacob left northwest Mesopotamia and arrived safely at the city of Shechem in the land of Canaan. There he camped east of the city. He bought a part of the field where he had camped from the sons of Hamor, father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. He built an altar there and named it after God, the God of Israel. Genesis chapter 24. At this time, Dinah, the daughter of Leah and Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of the land, saw her, he took her and forced her to have sexual relations with him. Shechem fell in love with Dinah, and he spoke kindly to her. He told his father Hamor, "Please get this girl for me so I can marry her." Jacob learned how Shechem had disgraced his daughter, but since his sons were out in the field with the cattle, Jacob said nothing until they came home. While he waited, Hamor, father of Shechem, went to talk with Jacob. When Jacob's sons heard what had happened, they came in from the field. They were very angry that Shechem had done such a wicked thing to Israel. It was wrong for him to have sexual relations with Jacob's daughter. A thing like this should not be done. But Hamor talked to Dinah's brothers and said, "My son Shechem is deeply in love with Dinah. Please let him marry her. Marry our people. Give your women to our men as wives, and take our women for your men as wives. You can live in the same land with us. You will be free to own land and to trade there." Shechem also talked to Jacob and to Dinah's brothers and said, "Please accept my offer. I will give anything you ask. Ask as much as you want for the payment for the bride, and I will give it to you. Just let me marry Dinah." Jacob's sons answered Shechem and his father with lies, because Shechem had disgraced their sister Dinah. The brothers said to them, "We cannot allow you to marry our sister because you are not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. But we will allow you to marry her if you do this one thing. Every man in your town must be circumcised like us. Then your men can marry our women, and our men can marry your women, and we will live in your land and become one people. If you refuse to be circumcised, we will take Dinah and leave." What they asked seemed fair to Hamor and Shechem. So Shechem quickly went to be circumcised because he loved Jacob's daughter. Now Shechem was the most respected man in his family. So Hamor and Shechem went to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, "These people want to be friends with us. So let them live in our land and trade here. There is enough land for all of us. Let us marry their women, and we can let them marry our women. But we must agree to one thing. All our men must be circumcised as they are. Then they will agree to live in our land, and we will be one people. If we do this, their cattle and their animals will belong to us. Let us do what they say, and they will stay in our land." All the people who had come to the city gate heard this. They agreed with Hamor and Shechem, and every man was circumcised. 3 days later, the men who were circumcised were still in pain. Two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and made a surprise attack on the city, killing all the men there. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem, and then took Dinah out of Shechem's house and left. Jacob's sons came upon the dead bodies and stole everything that was in the city to pay them back for what Shechem had done to their sister. So the brothers took the flocks, herds, and donkeys, and everything in the city and in the fields. They took every valuable thing the people owned, even their wives and children, and everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have caused me a lot of trouble. Now the Canaanites and the Perizzites who live in the land will hate me. Since there are only a few of us, if they join together to attack us, my people and I will be destroyed." But the brothers said, "We will not allow our sister to be treated like a prostitute."
Chapter 12.
Then on a day of worship, Jesus walked through the grain fields. His disciples were hungry and began to pick the heads of grain to eat. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing something that is not right to do on the day of worship." Jesus asked them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his men were hungry? Haven't you read how he went into the house of God and ate the bread of the presence? He and his men had no right to eat those loaves. Only the priests have that right. Or have you read in Moses' teachings that on the day of worship, the priests in the temple do things they shouldn't on the day of worship yet remain innocent? I can guarantee that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what 'I want mercy, not sacrifices' means, you would not have condemned innocent people. The Son of Man has authority over the day of worship." Jesus moved on from there and went into a synagogue. A man with a paralyzed hand was there. The people asked Jesus whether it was right to heal on a day of worship so that they could accuse him of doing something wrong. Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a sheep. If it falls into a pit on a day of worship, wouldn't you take hold of it and lift it out? Certainly a human is more valuable than a sheep. So it is right to do good on the day of worship." Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." The man held it out, and it became normal again, as healthy as the other. The Pharisees left and plotted to kill Jesus. He knew about this, so he left that place. Many people followed him, and he cured all of them. He also ordered them not to tell people who he was. So what the prophet Isaiah had said came true. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, whom I love, and in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will announce justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or shout, and no one will hear his voice in the streets. He will not break off a damaged cattail. He will not even put out a smoking wick until he has made justice victorious. The nations will have hope because of him." Then some people brought Jesus a man possessed by a demon. The demon made the man blind and unable to talk. Jesus cured him so that he could talk and see. The crowds were all amazed and said, "Can this man be the son of David?" When the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man can force demons out of people only with the help of Beelzebul, the ruler of demons." Since Jesus knew what they were thinking, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not last. If Satan forces Satan out, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom last? If I force demons out of people with the help of Beelzebul, who helps your followers force them out? That's why they will be your judges. But if I force demons out with the help of God's Spirit, then the kingdom of God has come to you. How can anyone go into a strong man's house and steal his property? First he must tie up the strong man. Then he can go through his house and steal his property. Whoever isn't with me is against me. Whoever doesn't gather with me scatters. So I can guarantee that people will be forgiven for any sin or cursing. However, cursing the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this world or the next. Make a tree good and then its fruit will be good. Or make a tree rotten and then its fruit will be rotten. A person can recognize a tree by its fruit. You poisonous snakes, how can you evil people say anything good? Your mouth says what comes from inside you. Good people do the good things that are in them, but evil people do the evil things that are in them. I can guarantee that on Judgment Day, people will have to give an account of every careless word they say. By your words you will be declared innocent, or by your words you will be declared guilty. Then some scribes and Pharisees said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign." He responded, "The people of an evil and unfaithful era look for a miraculous sign, but the only sign they will get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Just as Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up with you at the time of judgment and will condemn you, because they turned to God and changed the way they thought and acted when Jonah spoke his message. But look, someone greater than Jonah is here. The queen from the south will stand up at the time of judgment with you. She will condemn you because she came from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon's wisdom. But look, someone greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a person, it goes through dry places looking for a place to rest, but it doesn't find any. Then it says, 'I'll go back to the home I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and in order. Then it goes and brings along seven other spirits more evil than itself. They enter and take up permanent residence there. In the end, the condition of that person is worse than it was before. That is what will happen to the evil people of this day." While Jesus was still talking to the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside. They wanted to talk to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to talk to you." He replied to the man speaking to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing with his hand at his disciples, he said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants is my brother and sister and mother."